You know, I used to keep a red bandana and a switchblade in my car because, like, oh, I got an audition. Okay, here we go. Here's another gang member.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, actor Lou Diamond Phillips on being Latino in film. If you've seen the iconic film, La Bamba, then you've seen the talent of Lou Diamond Phillips, who plays the lead character, Richie Valens. The film details the life of the Mexican-American rock legend from his childhood in Pacoima, California.
Your breakfast is on the table. I'm off to work, eh?
And don't touch school today.
Thanks, Mom.
Up until his untimely death, when he and other rock and roll icons, Buddy Holly and J.P. the Big Bopper Richardson, were killed in a plane crash.
Valens was still in high school when he was signed to the Delphi label. And just a brief 8 months later, Richie Valens is gone.
That day is also known as the day the music died. La Bamba, the movie, was released in 1987. And at the time, Lou was a young, emerging actor in his mid-20s. Little did he know that this role would catapult him into the limelight and into the hearts of the Mexican-American community around the country. Lou Diamond Phillips, who's the son of a white American father and a Filipina mother, has since starred in films and TV shows as Chicano.
I got more bad news for you, profe.
Mr. Escalante, I forgot my pencil.
And Native American characters.
The first warrior looked out on a land that was his home. He was happy.
In this conversation, Lou talks about how his upbringing molded his experiences as an actor and how he continues to play an array of roles with an open mind and a willingness to learn. Lou Diamond Phillips, welcome to Latino USA.
Maria, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And nice talking to you again. My goodness, it's been a few years, hasn't it?
It's been a long time. We're so happy to have you on the show again. So, Lou, a lot of people, you know, they know you, obviously, and you know this, from La Bamba.
Yes.
You were playing Richie Valens. Everybody kind of probably came to you and said, wow, Lou Diamond Phillips, what a nice Mexican dude. And you're like, yeah, no, not exactly.
Mexican adjacent.
Mexican adjacent. So you were actually born in the Philippines on a naval base. Your mom is from the Philippines. Your dad is an American man.
White guy, yeah. Scotch, Irish, English, you know, very, very Anglican on my father's side.
And then you're raised in Corpus Christi.
Eventually, yes. I spent a lot of time on Navy bases in the early part of my life, and then eventually settled down in Corpus Christi. You know, became, you know, Tejano by osmosis, and, you know, spent a lot of my formative years there.
So let's talk about that. I mean, a lot of us, obviously, when we're so little, we're not thinking about race and identity and culture and ethnicity. But how did you understand who you were in the context of the way that you were traveling around?
I don't think it became articulated for me or defined for me until probably late in high school or college. I mean, what's interesting is growing up, I only ever considered myself to be American. Being on Navy bases, I was around a lot of mixed race kids. You know, a lot of kids who were the product of Navy bases around the world. In the Philippines, we were stationed there for a while, and so a lot of kids on that base were Filipino-American. And so it wasn't odd to me. Then all of a sudden, I became not only aware that I was different, and you know, once again, it's also about checking off boxes. For the most part, I checked off other, because all of a sudden I realized, oh, others seem to fit, you know, for the most part. Eventually going to the University of Texas at Arlington and running into a situation where, like, for instance, I, you know, because it was the thing to do, went to Rush Week and no fraternity signed me. Trying to get a job because I had to work through college, and suddenly not getting the waiter job, but being offered the busboy job. And so all of a sudden, I ran smack dab into a lot of racism in my first couple of years of college that were a bucket of cold water because that was not my experience growing up.
So when you think about your experience growing up, it looks like you kind of knew from when you were pretty young that you wanted to act. You go to the University of Texas at Arlington to study drama. Can you make the connection when you were like, oh, acting, that's what I want to do? And when did that happen in your young life? Do you remember?
I actually wrote a play that we had a couple of very smart teachers when I was in sixth grade, and we had a lot of overachieving kids. So they set us to writing a Christmas play, and we basically ripped off Charles Schulz. We did a take on Peanuts, and I played Linus and wrote myself all the funniest lines. That's all it takes, is to get a few laughs when you're on stage to get, you know, bitten by the bug. And then when we transferred to Corpus Christi, I joined Drama Club. Right off the bat, I got in the very first college play. And then I also got my very first film when I was 19 years old in a Christian youth film called Angel Alley.
So you're a budding actor, you're auditioning, you hear about La Bamba. Actually, they had like traveled to multiple cities looking for the person who was going to play Richie Valens. Can you kind of paint a picture of yourself right before that big break? So what were you doing? And when you went to the audition for La Bamba, were you like, okay, this is definitely like my moment? Or were you like, oh my God, they've been in so many cities, I'll just go to this. Why not?
I was completely ignorant of it. And let me back up. I'll paint the picture for where I'm at. I am actually now working in the Dallas-Fort Worth area as a professional actor. I mean, I'm thrilled. I'm now 24 years old. I was doing a lot of theater, and I was working, you know, in the Texas industry as far as film and television goes. I mean, here I was actually paying my bills by being an actor, so I was pretty thrilled. And then, you know, I had an agent. I was constantly going on auditions. And the funny thing is, because once again, here we go, in this particular market, there weren't a lot of guys that looked like me. I kind of cornered the market on that, you know, young brown guys. I mean, that's why I was working a lot. So I was getting all of the brown roles in Dallas, Texas. And so now I get a call from my agent, and it's like, okay, there is a musical that's being cast in Dallas, and it's on the life of Frankie Valli. And I went, okay, all right. You know, Frankie Valli, Italian, Four Seasons, you know, Sherry. I thought, okay, I can do that. Sure, you know, I'll get a perm. I'm about, you know, a foot and a half too tall, but whatever. You know, it's a gig. And so I go down to the theater in downtown Dallas to go to this audition and find out that it is not a musical about Frankie Valli. It is a movie about Richie Valens. And I had no clue. And I walk in the door, and there's, you know, maybe eight guys that look like me. And they explain to us, this is a movie on the life of Richie Valens. It's a Hollywood film. If I had known this, I'd have been nervous as heck walking through the door. But, you know, they'd already cast in L.A. and New York. They had cast in Miami and Chicago. And they still hadn't quite found what they wanted.
And you weren't immediately cast for Richie. You were maybe going to play his brother, Bob, who ends up being played by the fabulous Isai Morales.
When they flew me out for the screen test, they used me as a reader. I read Bob with all of these other actors coming in to play Richie. So it was not a fait accompli. I didn't just get flown out to do a screen test. I got flown out to continue to audition. And as you said before, I auditioned for Bob, but I also auditioned for Richie. And it wasn't until they flipped me and put me with Isai that things became clear for them, I think.
And you end up landing the role of Richie Valens. And, you know, people might not know, in fact, that the family of Richie Valens was really involved in the film. So what happens after you get that part?
I get the part, fly back to Texas to pack a bag for a couple of months, because I'd only packed a bag for a week, and then to be picked up by Bob, the real Bob Morales, and taken immediately to the house that Richie bought Connie, and to meet Mom, and to meet the sisters, and to meet Rosie, and to be immediately embraced by this family. And to have Bob say, the second I laid eyes on you, I knew it was you.
Coming up on Latino USA, my conversation with actor Lou Diamond Phillips continues. Stay with us. No te vayas.
An incident in Nashville that shocked the Latino community. A computer designed to control the entire Chilean economy. A Martian invasion in Ecuador. Radio Ambulante is back with a brand new season. NPR's Spanish language podcast will take you around Latin America to show you the fascinating, strange, and compelling stories of the region. Subscribe and listen every Tuesday.
We're back. And when we left off, Lou Diamond Phillips had just gotten the role of Richie Valens in La Bamba, directed by Chicano filmmaker Luis Valdez. In this part of the conversation, Lou Diamond Phillips talks about his career and how he approaches playing characters that don't share his same ethnic background. It's interesting watching the movie now because, of course, you are playing Richie Valens. You're Filipino, American, and other, and Isai Morales is Puerto Rican.
Yes.
Playing Richie Valens' brother, Bob.
Yes.
Man, we were rocking, man. We're really rolling. Didn't I tell you?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need no band. We just play the bars with the drummer, me, for instance.
I'm talking about making money.
I'm talking about making music. My music. That's all I care about, man.
And I know that it was like a huge moment for you as an actor. But at what moment did you realize, like, this is about having, like, an imprint of making, you know, Latinos, brown folks kind of center stage, kind of like it's on your shoulders?
I was blessed. I was nothing short of blessed to understand the context in which Luis Valdez was making this film. And all of a sudden, I am faced with a history and a culture that I didn't, growing up in this funky little town in Texas, I had no clue about Cesar Chavez, about the farm workers, about the Mexican-American experience in California and in America. It was a masterclass in history and political science and culture that Luis Valdez taught, and the context in which he was making this film about a rock and roll, you know, icon. All of that goes into the understanding of this film.
Do you have a moment where you remember Luis Valdez with that extraordinary voice of his saying something to you that just clicked?
Yeah, it was interesting. He was talking to me about the Mayan calendar, actually, you know, and I thought, holy crap, this guy's not just making a movie, man. He's, you know, this is a through line for him. And he was talking about the cycle of things and how this was the year to make La Bamba because it was 30 years after the actual event. Which is interesting because this year is the 60th anniversary of the day the music died.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin. Three young singers who soared to the heights of show business on the current rock and roll craze were killed today in the crash.
It was Danny Valdez who had originally gotten the rights to it because he wanted to play Richie. He had done Boulevard Nights and he had done Zoot Suit. He was the lead in both. His brother had directed them. And this was his project and it languished. It took so long to get it made that he was too old. And now he was the uncle.
Wow.
And yet it was Danny who said, go to Texas. You're going to find Richie in Texas. Go to Texas.
Wow. So I got to tell you that one of my favorite things about watching La Bamba again was watching you with the fabulous Elizabeth Peña.
Yeah.
May she rest in peace.
God bless her.
You are looking really handsome, Richie. The girls are going to go crazy over you.
There's only one girl I care about.
Who's that?
Nobody would know.
There is this chemistry that you had. It's almost as if you did, in fact. I mean, a lot of people look at you and they see Richie Valens.
The family did. And they called me Richie for the entire, you know, run of the shoot.
Did you feel like when you were on set then and playing Richie Valens that he was, in fact, kind of like, hey, Lou, we couldn't be more different, but I'm with you. And I'm going to empower you to play me in a way that is going to become unforgettable in American movie history.
You know what? You know what's interesting? I don't think I've ever told this story. So Bob picks me up at the airport when I come back from Texas, right? And takes me immediately to the house that Richie bought Connie Sr. And we have dinner. And I stayed the night at that house. I slept in one of the bedrooms. I remember praying that night. I prayed. I said, Richie, here I am, man. Show me the way. Show me what you want me to do. It's my constant prayer as an actor to have an open heart and an open mind. So I needed to be open to that and to be open to all of the input and to subjugate my own ego to that role. I felt like he was there with me. I really do.
So your next big hit, I mean, these are like iconic films in a time when we were being told that people of color, Latinos, that we kind of matter. But, you know, in the film Stand and Deliver, it kind of encompasses it all. That's a story about Jaime Escalante. He's a high school teacher in East L.A.
There are some people in this world who will assume that you know less than you do because of your name and your complexion. But math is the great equalizer.
The big story goes that he's teaching calculus, AP calculus in East Los Angeles, and his entire class passes the test. But of course, then they're questioned because how is it possible that a bunch of brown kids could pass the calculus AP test?
Those scores would have never been questioned if my kids did not have Spanish surnames and come from barrio schools. You know that.
You play the role of Angel Guzman, Angel Guzman. And again, just going back and looking at it, boy, the outfits were kind of fabulous that you were wearing.
I mean, right? The nethead.
Well, actually, why don't you describe your character of Angel Guzman and how you would kind of get into character?
What was interesting, I was almost out of money from La Bamba. I got paid scale for that, you know, so like a total of, I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000.
Wait,
you know.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. What?
Yeah.
Really?
No. Yeah, everybody got paid scale. It was a negative pickup. The entire budget of the movie was $6 million.
It was a kind of a small independent film,
exactly.
Right? That's why.
Exactly.
And you were never able to get any of the residuals?
Well, yeah, but I mean, residuals on a $1,000 check is, you know, it's not much, man.
Wow.
And even now it's, you know, it's like 16 cents.
Fascinating.
So I did not get rich off that film, but it gave me my career. So I am not resentful in the least.
Interesting.
We got paid scale on Stand and Deliver. Stand and Deliver was made for $1 million. That's it. So I actually stumbled into that. I mean, I was almost out of money. I auditioned. They give me the role of Angel.
Go see the counselor.
Come on, Kimo.
No, go find yourself another class. Go to woodshop. Make yourself a shoe shine box. You're going to need it.
Okay, Kimo. You're the man, you know.
And the next thing you know, here we are making this really gritty, really wonderful little low-budget film.
There's a moment where your character, Angel, walks up to the teacher, Jaime Escalante, and says, look, I got a problem. And your character, Angel, is like super smart in calculus. But he says, I got a problem. It's with the books.
I got a little problem, though.
Yeah, me.
No. Seriously, man. Books. Can't have the homies see me haul them around.
Wouldn't want anyone to think you're intelligent, huh?
So maybe I can have two books, keep one stashed at home, huh?
Again, he's kind of a Chicano, kind of gangbanger from East L.A. How did you get into playing his role?
Once again, it's just, it was an education. It was research because this is obviously something that I am not. Now, Danny Villarreal is a technical advisor on this. He's a PA, okay? And he's not even an actor in it. And so they put me together with him because he is a former gangbanger who got out of the gangs. Angel was his life.
That's right. That's all you know.
And so I rode around with him for a couple of weeks, and he would take me to places and show me things and show me where friends of his got shot, talk about, you know, some of the crimes that he did when he was a teenager. So I'm, once again, getting this very, very quick education. And honestly, both films, La Bamba and Stand and Deliver, we had no idea that they were going to have the impact that they did. Zero.
So let me ask you, why, you know, given that you, again, your own ethnic experience or background wasn't one of being Latino or Mexican, talk to me a little bit more about that and why you were like, no, absolutely, Cesar Chavez, I see myself in you. And absolutely, Luis Valdez, I see myself in you. What was that thing that made you say, this is what I need to be doing?
You know, it's interesting because I never tried to co-opt. I just wanted to be a soldier. And it was that, you know, hey, Lou, you are representing the Latino community. Here's how you give back. And I was like, absolutely. Tell me where to go. Tell me where to show up. And that's what led me to meeting Cesar, you know, during that fast that he was doing. And then, you know, I do Stand and Deliver. And once again, here I am introduced to a subculture of Mexican-American life that I knew nothing about. And that's, you know, the Cholos. This was an education for me. I never took the privilege of representing a community for granted. Because I am such a mixed bag, you know, an American mutt, that physically and facially I'm able to represent different communities, it's always been important to me to do that with respect and to do that with intelligence. Now you take these roles, stereotypical roles, and you do something that is respectful and that brings pride and that has a nobility and an integrity to it. And the way to do that is to be specific and to not just play the surface, to understand the roots of what you're getting at. It's certainly theater training, but it's the conversations with Luis Valdez that sort of galvanized that approach in my mind.
Lou Diamond Phillips, I'm just going to say, pues, órale, órale.
Órale, pues.
Órale, pues. I just had to get an órale out of you.
Si se puede. Órale.
Lou Diamond Phillips, thank you so much for joining me on Latino USA. It's been great speaking with you.
Thank you, Maria.
Lou Diamond Phillips is an actor. The two iconic Chicano films that he starred in, La Bamba and Stand and Deliver, recently celebrated their 30th anniversaries. This episode was produced by Janice Yamoca and edited by Sofia Palizaca. The Latino USA team includes Fernanda Camarena, Miguel Macias, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, and Alisa Escarce, with help this week from Ginny Montalvo and Maya Cueva. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fiederholz. Our digital team includes Julio Ricardo Varela and Amanda Alcantara. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Fernanda Uriegas. Our intern is Adriana Tapia. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, be sure to stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org.
The voice that I use for Victor Delgado is basically my Antonio Banderas, because he is so smooth and suave and sexy.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, and next time on Latino USA, we bring you a portrait of Isabel Allende, one of the most influential authors of our time. We talk about why her most recent novels focus on the immigrant and refugee experiences across the globe. That's next time on Latino USA.